open your Bibles into Genesis in chapter 6. I'm not going to comment on it. I'm going to proclaim it. I'm not going to argue with you about it. I'm just going to tell you. Okay, I'm going to tell you. And if you don't like it, well, now you can go pray and talk to God about it. But I'm going to tell you. Okay, see, I hate mythology. I used to study mythology. See, but mythology has no room in the Bible. There is no mythology in the Bible. This is a real book. It really happened. Very quickly there in Genesis chapter 6, it says this. And came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all whom they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he is also flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants on the earth in those days, and also after that. When the sons of God came into the daughters of men, they bore children to them, and the same became mighty men who were of old, men of renown. God saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Whoo, the humanists sure do hate that verse, don't they? You know, it's real hard to get religious people to believe that. I want you to see what God's view of fallen man is. Now, in Genesis, this is just Genesis chapter 6. Did you notice that? In Genesis chapter 1, God says that everything he made, and he includes man in Genesis chapter 1, was good. Yea, it was very good. But by chapter 6, God says that the thoughts and the imagination of man's heart was continually evil. You know, how many of you noticed that even after you got saved, sometimes you had problems with that same problem? That's because the moment you get saved, you're saved immediately, but you're not sanctified immediately. Now, you're sanctified in one sense. You're sanctified in the sense that it means you were set aside for God. But your walk is still that of a baby. You're a baby Christian. You just got born again. Here's a young man sitting on the front row, introduced himself to me tonight. His name's Mike. Mike came in and told me that he came down and talked to Jack Park when Jack was here last time. And Mike told me, he says, I'm 2 months old. How old is that? 2 months old. Well, you know, now Mike, you know, little babies that are 2 months old, it takes time to learn to walk. So Mike is probably experiencing in his walk moments of elation and being close to God, and he's probably experiencing some tremendous falling down on his face and bumping his head, going down and bumping his head when he tries to stand up. You know, babies will fall down, go try to take a step, and when they try and get up, they'll try and get up under a table, you know. And they bump it going down, they bump it coming up. And then after you learn to walk, well, then you begin to learn to run. So, now let me say this. You don't have to take long learning. You can really learn as fast as you really will give yourself to God. And as you give yourself time in His Word and with God's people, spending time with God alone, getting to know Him, you can grow very fast. You can be very precocious in the kingdom of God. Now, these verses have caused much consternation. I realize as you go to the Bible bookstores and read all the commentaries, there's just no telling what all you're going to get out of this. And many people put a good story of mythology in here. And it sticks in here like a sore thumb, because you can't find any... who are these sons of God in verse 2? That's the problem. Right. Now, let me just say this. Many books, many churches teach these are the fallen angels. These are the demons, the fallen angels. And now they're copulating with women. I want you to notice in the 5 verses that we read that it doesn't say anything about God being mad at fallen angels. It says that the heart of man was evil continually, that man brought it on himself. And then later on in the chapter, God says that he is going to destroy man, if you keep reading, because of this sin. There's no comment whatsoever about God being mad at fallen angels. Now, you see, isn't it odd that there's no other story anywhere? See, if that's the true interpretation, isn't it odd there's no other chapter like this, no other verse like this anywhere in the Bible that talks about something like this? Let me be very bold with you. The people that teach this, and let me say this, they're my brothers and sisters in the Lord. Many of my brothers and sisters, and what I'm saying is, I'm not talking about the enemy. Okay, these are people that love God. What I'm trying to do is teach you, because you're the people God has given to me to teach, to shepherd. If my other brothers and sisters, you know, are going to teach the other way, so be it. I'm not responsible for them. They answer to God. You hear that? They don't answer to me. I'm not their pope. I'm just one of many of God's teachers, shepherds. Now, these same people very conveniently like to use these chapters, these verses. And some of you may be some of them. I understand that. I'm not saying this to hurt your feelings. I'm telling you this to tell you the truth and let you see the truth. The thing that annoys me about the teaching mostly is, now hear this, that they say a falsehood. All of them say falsehoods. They say, these have to be angels because nowhere else in the Old Testament does it call men sons of God. Now it says, now in the New Testament it calls men sons of God, but only angels are called sons of God in the Old Testament. That is not the truth. And that really burns me. When I have people come up to me and tell me that, listen, when I have preachers come up and tell me that, I mean, it's bad enough, you know. I understand that if little Mike came up and told me, see, he read some quarterly from some Sunday school thing, and it's told him that. And he comes up and tells me that. I understand. I wouldn't get uptight with him at all. He's 2 months old. He hadn't even begun reading the Bible good yet. I mean, he's just now getting going in that thing. But for a man that's, a preacher that's supposed to know the Word of God, to come up and tell me, nowhere in the Old Testament does it say this. Does it call men the sons of God? Every time in the Old Testament it says sons of God, he's talking about angels. That is not the truth. Therefore, their, quote, proof falls on its face. Now, I'm going to show you a couple of these. I'm going to put this to rest, and I want to say some very strong things to you for your sake. Along with this, they love to put these, quite often, if they don't do this, many of these people also teach the gap theory. In Genesis chapter 1, between verses 1 and 2, that there's an enormous time gap between verse 1 and 2. And that there was a pre-Adamic race of people. And that the demons are pre-Adamic people's spirits. That's what they teach. Now, I taught, just for your information, so that some of you that are Assembly of Godders in here, I've taught at an Assembly of God Bible college. And the Assembly of God teach that. But it's one of the things they teach that they're wrong about. Okay? How many of you know that every denomination's got some teachings that really are wrong? Every one of them do. And it's just, they kind of, it's one of those teachings that kind of gets in there, and once it gets in, you just can't get it out. Now, I mean that. I've never seen a denomination that as a denomination taught a teaching and decided they were wrong. Never have. Now, as a matter of fact, one of the reasons why you're not getting taught on the rapture tonight is because during all my study to bring it together, I decided I had made a mistake. Oh, it's not one that you're going to get, it's going to blow you completely out and completely rechange all my teachings on the book of Revelation. But I found something that I now believe I was wrong about. So I'm putting it all together, and it's taking a little extra work because I don't want to make the same mistake twice. In other words, shall I put it this way? Your teacher is not infallible, and he is still learning. Woe be unto you and me when I quit learning. Then I become infallible, don't you understand? And I'm really in trouble, and so are you. All right? Because some of you wouldn't have sense enough to leave. And others of you wouldn't know that the thing to do is to come help me. Some of you just X me out and hurl curses at me instead of coming in to try and help me, Gary. That'd be the thing to do. Now, let me just say this about the gap theory. The gap theory was never taught by Christians until after 1860 A.D. In other words, after Charles Darwin and Lyell and Hutton foisted the fairy story of evolution on the world. The greatest, listen to me, the greatest evolution that has ever taken place in history is how Lyell evolved out of nothing billions of years. Now that is real evolution. That's the greatest act of creation out of nothing I've ever heard of. How Darwin and Lyell, out of nothing, manufactured billions of years and have sold it to the world. Now, I want you to understand that I don't care what your denominations teach, no Bible teachers were teaching a gap. All the way from Moses until 1860 A.D. Isn't it amazing that not one of them all those years had gotten the revelation from God that that gap was there? But praise God, Bible haters, godless men, and an apostate named Charles Darwin saved the day and found the truth and dropped it on the church. And then we, listen to me, let me tell you when the church gets in serious trouble. This happens to you, it happens to me, it happens to every man and woman of God. When you go to the Bible with your mind already made up what you think the truth is, and then you go to the Bible for the purpose of finding some verses to prove what you already made up your mind about, rather than going to the Bible with God, I don't care what the truth is. I don't care if it's this, I don't care if it's that, whichever it is, I'll believe it and live with it. Lord, I just want to know. But the minute you sing, the minute you go to the Bible saying, now, I already know what I believe. Already, Carl, I already know the truth. Now, where's five verses that'll prove I'm right? You're going to fall into deception because you didn't come to the Bible with an honest heart. No, there is no gap. The earth is really 6,000 years old. It really is. And you can tell that by just simply adding up the numbers in the Bible. I've done it several times. It's real easy to do. You can do it with just a handful of verses. It only takes about 25 minutes to do it. And if you believe the Bible, it's really simple. Now, let me be bold. All gappers. Now, the way I know this is I used to teach the gap and believe in the gap. And the reason I did was I was an evolutionist by training, a geologist, geophysicist, paleontologist by training. And I wanted something that I could intellectually live with. And I did not want to repent of what I had learned at the university. I wanted to approach God with my intellect. I wanted a God that appealed to my intellect. Instead of doing what Paul did, count all that I'd learned dung. Now, beloved, hear me carefully. To teach that human spirits are wandering about is spiritism, not Christianity. The Bible clearly teaches that all people that die, if they're lost, and that's who they're telling us these demons are, they're the spirits of lost people that supposedly lived before Adam. That is spiritism. Has nothing to do with Christianity. The Bible teaches that lost people, when they die, go to, in the Greek, it's called Hades. In the Hebrew, it's called Sheol, and they're awaiting, they're in torment. But they don't have bodies yet. They're just soul and spirit. Come the great white throne judgment, at the end of the thousand-year reign of Christ, they will get bodies. Matthew chapter 10 says, don't worry about somebody that can get you in this life, but if there's someone with enough power to cast both your body and your soul into hell, that's who you'd better worry about. And he didn't talk about the devil there. I hope you all understand that the Bible doesn't teach that the devil rules hell and that he torments and all his demons are tormenting people. All these medieval pictures that you've seen of demons dragging people down to hell and the devil ruling down there, he doesn't rule. When you read the Bible, when they go to hell, and they're not there yet, they will suffer and be tormented there just like everyone else. They won't be tormenting anybody. They'll be too miserable themselves. They'll be concerned about their own problems. No, the Bible teaches that once they go to hell, the second death, the lake of fire, they will have bodies. Some people always said, how can a spirit burn any way God wants it to? Now, what I'm saying is, that teaching is a myth. It's contrary to Scripture. Number one, now listen, if this verse is actually talking about fallen angels and calling them the sons of God, what does the lesson teach? Girls, whatever you do, don't ever walk alone somewhere. See, if it happened back here in Genesis, you know, that girls were walking down the street and fallen angels grabbed hold of them, drug them off in the woods, got them pregnant. I mean, I know they didn't get married, so it had to be fornication. Well, what's that going to teach us? Girls, whatever you do, don't you get alone. Some fallen angels liable to grab you by the hair. Now, let me just tell you this. If any of you come in here some night, pregnant, and you try to palm off on me, Floyd, you won't believe it. Yeah, I know. I was walking down the woods one day, and lo, and Floyd, you, oh, you're right, honey. I won't believe it. Hallelujah. I'm trying to show you the foolishness of the teaching. Now, listen to me. If these are fallen angels, isn't it peculiar? Now, you hear this. Nowhere else in Scripture are fallen angels ever called sons of God. And therefore, they're not sons of God here. Fallen angels in the Bible, everywhere else they're called sometimes fallen stars, they're called the devil's angels, they're called demons, they're called evil spirits, they're called unclean spirits. There's all kind of names like that in the Bible for them, but never. See, in the Bible, the term Son of God is wonderful, seeing as how Jesus is the Son of God. And when you get saved, you become a Son of God. And the angels are sons of God, the ones that didn't sin. Furthermore, I want to say this to you. In Romans chapter 5, 1 Corinthians 15, and many, many, many other scriptures, these scriptures speak of Jesus, hear this, of dying for the sins of Adam's offspring, not for pre-Adamic people. Never does the Bible teach that Jesus died for anyone except Adam's offspring. Now, if there were people that lived before the flood, before Adam, well, they all sinned just like this bunch does. Some of them would have been saved and some would have been lost. And someone would have had to have died for the sins of the ones that were saved. Now, who did that? See, the New Testament talks about the Messiah dying for the sins of Adam's children. Well, believe me, Jesus didn't come way back yonder and die for them, because Hebrews tells us that Jesus died how many times? Once for sin. And that's it. Just once. I'm trying to show you that, see, these kind of teachings just go against volumes of basic Bible teaching. See, who died for their sins? Jesus died once for sin and rose. The Bible teaches he rose never to die again. Okay? Now, let me go even a step further. The unfallen angels many times appear in Scripture looking like men, but they are not males. Males, that's which bathroom you go to. That's how your plumbing is fixed. Jesus in Matthew chapter 22 clearly teaches that when we get our new bodies, we will not be male and female. We will be as the angels. Now, if an angel appeared in this room tonight, he would look like a man to us. Nowhere in the Bible does an angel show up looking like a little baby, like the pictures show. A little chubby cherub. No angel anywhere in the Bible even looks like a female. They look like men, but they've got clothes on, so you wouldn't know any better than to say they were a man. But if he didn't have that roll bone, he still would not be a male. Never in the Bible, Old or New Testament, do fallen angels ever appear with bodies. In the Scriptures, unfallen angels often appear with physical bodies. Never in Scripture, never, 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 anywhere other than your only hope to offer me this one here in Genesis 6. And I'm trying to show you that if that were true, it goes completely contrary to every other single incident in the Bible. In fact, the fallen angels continually try to possess bodies. It's the only way they can have a body until they're thrown in the lake of fire just after the great white throne judgment. That's when they're going to get their bodies, and they're not going to like it. So they now try to possess human bodies or even animals. Remember in the Scriptures, they even wanted to go in pigs rather than be thrown in the abyss. They pleaded with Jesus, with the Gadarene, who had the legion of angels. All the angels are created beings. They do not reproduce. They are not generated by reproduction. We, man, was created, but all other men have been generated. Adam was created, poof, out of red dirt. God formed him with his own hands out of red clay and kissed him right in the mouth. The scripture says he blew the breath of lives in him, just like a balloon. Kissed him right in the mouth. It's a love story. I'm corny that way. If you don't like it, you just don't know the love of God. Kissed Adam right in the mouth, brought him to life. Go home and kiss your wife. That'll bring her to life. Hallelujah. And my point of telling you that is, hence, no way that a fallen angel can copulate with a woman directly. He would have to possess a human body in order to do that. Furthermore, Satan became the god of this age, the prince of the power of the air, where the kingdoms of this world were his to give, by defeating God's regent, Adam, not by ruling a pre-Adamic race. The Bible clearly teaches that the way Satan got to be the ruler of this world was by defeating God's regent, God's prime minister, the one that God said, you rule this planet. When he defeated Adam, that's how he got control of the planet. See, if he already was ruling the planet before Adam, how did Adam get control? Who whipped him in the pre-Adamic times to take the world away from him to give it to Adam? See, you're left having to make up a fairy story there too. The Bible clearly teaches that the way Satan gets defeated is through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And Jesus didn't die back then. The Bible says just once. Now, to put this to rest for you, hopefully, I'd just like to show you that they're telling you something untrue. Quickly then, leave this and turn, for example, to Exodus chapter 4. I want to show you in Scripture where men in the Old Testament are called the sons of God. See these commentaries. Even Dake. Israel commentary says nowhere. And you can go get the best commentaries. But I'm just trying to show you they're not squaring with Scripture. Exodus chapter 4, for one. Look with me, if you would, at verse 22. This is Moses confronting Pharaoh. Thus shalt thou say unto Pharaoh, thus says Jehovah the Lord, Israel is my son, even my firstborn. How many of you know Israel is not made up of angels? Mm-hmm. Israel is my son. That's calling men sons of God, isn't it? Yes, it really is. It really is. All right. Take a look. Turn further to the right. Let me show you something in Job. That'd be about the next place we could come to. Job in chapter 1. I want you to notice something very meticulously here. I want you to see how meticulous, Al, that God is to keep us out of these kind of errors. The Lord doesn't want us into this kind of mythology. Okay, I'll tell you the answer to where those... So someone in here says, all right, Floyd, then where did those giants come from? I'm going to tell you the answer. Most of you won't believe it. So I have some tapes called The Mark of Cain. And if you don't believe me, you ask me for the tapes on The Mark of Cain. Write it down. Give me your name and address. I'll mail them to you. I'll bring them to you. They're free. And I will show you over 20 verses that clearly tell you what The Mark of Cain is. There's no question what The Mark of Cain is. First of all, he told him that he was going to put that mark on him to do what? To protect him. Believe me, the mark of Cain is not that he made him a black person. Would you blacks in here agree, George, is being black, has that ever protected you? If anything, George, it probably got you in some trouble sometimes down here in the South, didn't it? No, God didn't make a black... See, it was not a curse to be made black. You say, well, where did black people come from? Same people, same place white people came from. Where'd they come from? Same place as yellow people and red people came. Everybody came out of Adam. All you got to do is read and believe the Bible. Right. Within Adam's DNA was the gene for every color of eyes, every height, every kind of hair. Some of you think that's amazing. You don't know anything. Let me tell you. Those of you that think that's amazing don't know anything about genetics. The genetic code, the DNA, is... there are so many minute, discrete particles of information in that thing that it only takes a handful of... Did you know the only difference between colors? Let me tell you what it is. There's a protein, one lousy chemical protein, in all of us called melanin. And it just depends on how much of that you've got. Some of us just got a little more than others. And if you hadn't got much, you're lily white. And if you got a little bit, well, you're kind of olive complexion. You got a little bit more, well, you're just darker, and you're darker. And I mean, whether you're Oriental, the color of an Oriental, a black person, a white person, or an Indian, just depends on how much of that one chemical you've got in your little pigments. Isn't it? Oh, what a terrible difference. May I be bold? There's no room for prejudice in the family of God. There's no room for it. No, the mark of Cain, I'll tell you the answer. Most of you won't believe it, but if you'll listen to the tape and check every scripture out I give you, you'll know that it's the truth. God made him as grotesque as his sin. He made a giant out of him. And that's where all the giants in the Bible come from. They're all related to Cain, every one of them. And the way they got across on the ark is Ham married one of Cain's descendants. That's where these giants come from. The children of Cain were the sons of men, and the children of God were the sons of God here, the godly lineage of Seth. And they're sinning by intermarrying. The Christian sons of Seth are liking those good-looking chicks from Cain. And they're unequally yoking themselves, and it's producing troubles that we never got out of in this book. The story in this story is teaching the horror of unequally yoking. Now, that's a whole lot better Bible teaching than teaching that angels, fallen angels, copulated with women. So, girls, stay away from dark woods. That teaches nothing. Now, I want you to observe in verse 6 of Job 1. Now, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. Now, these are angels, but I want you to see a big difference. And Satan came also among them. Do you see the word also makes an incredible distinction between sons of God and Satan. Satan, don't you understand? See, Lucifer was a son of God, and God calls him a son of God. But when he sinned and fell and became Satan, now the distinction is made. He doesn't call him a son of God there. Once he fell, though he is God's fallen, unrepentant, unregenerate son that will never repent, God no longer calls him his son. He makes a clear distinction. Oh, by the way, Satan was there too. He didn't say, and God's other son was there, Satan. The distinction is unmistakable. Last place, just for this, and then we'll close this thought down. Hosea chapter 1. See, these commentaries again are saying that nowhere in the Old Testament does it call men sons of God. That's not done until the New Testament, they say. Therefore, they're demanding that Genesis 6 can't be humans, it's got to be angels. Verse 10.